2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's all right. There's one in the pew rack right in front of you. Grab one of those red hardbound books and turn 2/3 of the way through the Bible, almost 3/4 of the way through the Bible. It's just before you get to Hebrews. Sometimes it's easier actually to find Hebrews. And then back up again a few pages to number 2 Timothy. This is the second letter written by the Apostle Paul to his preacher boy, brother Timothy. Timothy was a young man who Paul had personally led to the Lord and discipled and trained excited about working in his life. And I learn a lot from Timothy, the letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Chapter 3 and verse 16. If you found it, please say amen. Let's read this verse together as a family out loud. All right, here we go. Follow me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature, complete, full, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I've talked about this ad nauseum, be honest with you. I've taught about it, and I'm going to continue to teach about it, because the truth is, the Bible proves itself to you. I don't have to beat you up with it. If you'll read it, it'll prove itself to you. It's an incredible book. It's 66 different books written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years. And there's no contradictions, errors, or mistakes. Now, the thing we forget is I admit the print date in the front of my Bible is 1998, but this was written 1,900 plus years ago. So as you read this Bible, yes, it's ancient words, but it's timeless truths. So when it says all Scripture, that means every bit of it. The parts I like, the parts I don't like, the parts I understand and the parts I don't understand. They're all equally inspired. All Scripture, there's nothing outside of all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. It's good for me. It teaches me what's right, what's not right, how to get right and how to stay right, so that I'm able to do the works God's called me to do. The question is not, is the Bible true? The question is, do you believe it? I can't make you believe. And that's why I say, if you'll just read it, it'll prove itself to you. Now, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. 1 Peter 3:15, that's you putting God first. And be ready always to give an answer to every man. Now, this is where the devil gets you. The devil gets you because he's like, what if somebody asks you a question you don't have an answer to? Hey, you're not responsible for the things you don't know. You're responsible to talk about the things you do know. Listen, it says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope. Do you see that? That is in you. Can you tell others what it is you actually believe? Can you explain it? I mean, just in a simple sentence to a 5-year-old, can you explain what it is you believe? Do you know why you believe it to be true? Now, there are three things I want to accomplish. This is a series on creation. This message and the next three are going to cover all kinds of cool stuff. Where did the dinosaurs go? The flood, the Garden of Eden, what the world was like prior to the flood. Why is it different now? What's coming? That kind of thing. And so don't miss, if you have to be gone, it'll be up on the web, you can watch. But three things I want to accomplish today. I want to strengthen your faith in God's Word. I want to show you things maybe you hadn't seen before, but the Bible will prove itself to be true. Number two, if you're not saved, if you died today and you're not sure heaven's your home, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to try to convert you, honestly. I want to show you the truth of the Bible. I want you to get saved. Number three, if you are saved and you're not doing much for the Lord, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. I'm just going to. All right? So my aim for the message is to counter what the devil's claims that the Bible is useless, that it's just some great stories, and that it's not accurate historically or scientifically. And I want to show you that as a Christian, you've got to wear the whole armor of God. You've got to be ready because the attack's coming. Proven fact, 75% of kids raised in Christian homes by the end of their first year of college will lose their faith in God. That's 3 out of 4. Which 3 out of 4 do you think is an acceptable loss? of the children that are downstairs right now, how many of those are an acceptable loss to you? How many in your home is an acceptable loss for them to grow up and not and lose their faith in God? Now, the Bible says in Psalm 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, the devil's on the attack of the foundation of Christianity. Many times we cannot co-labor with other churches because other churches will have something else as the other than the Word of God as their foundation. Do you understand? The Word of God, I am not your authority. I'm not. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I am not your boss. You will never stand in judgment with Pastor Mix. That's not my job. I'm not God's law enforcement. We're going to be held accountable for what the book says. And you have a copy in your own language. And the thing is, God wants you to know what it says. So the Bible is your final authority, not me. But what is the foundation of Christianity? Well, that's the Bible, God's Word. And what is the foundation of the Bible? Well, the foundation of the Bible is the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 through 11. Because what you find in the beginning are these historical events. These historical events create the foundation of not only the universe, but also mankind and our existence and our understanding of humanity. This is the beginning, okay? Now, the reason Genesis is important is because all of these different doctrines, all of these different truths are founded in Genesis. We call it the law of first mention. When you're reading the Bible, the first time you come across a specific topic, that sets the tone for your understanding of that topic. Now, it's true. You look at every place. You take any topic in the Bible. Nave's Topical Bible is online. It's free. Just go out there and type in a topic, and it'll spit out every Bible verse on it. And when you read every Bible verse on a specific topic, then you understand as a whole what is it God says about that topic. But you will find that the very first time it's mentioned will set the stage for our understanding. Well, let me tell you something. You've got the curse, judgment, sin, marriage, all of that stuff was founded in Genesis. Now, the scary thing is Satan wants to attack Genesis and the Bible because if he can attack God's Word, the rest of it all falls apart. Well, Pastor, you know, this stuff was written thousands of years ago, and it, you know, it's 2020, and holy cow, let me tell you something. You want to believe the parts about how salvation is free, and you get to go to heaven and stay there for eternity and never lose it, but you have trouble with the other parts? Look, if Genesis is not true, then Jesus in John 3:16 ain't true. If you got to be suspect about Genesis 1 through 3, then trust me. Then you don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to John 3. And so that, and a lot of times Christians are either asleep or they're too busy fooling around or we're too busy shooting our own wounded to realize where the real attack's coming from. Because all of this here on the left is based on the Word of God. The meaning of life, standards, marriage, laws, creation, all this is based on man's opinion, not on actual truth. The Bible says in Colossians 2:8, beware, be on guard. Lest any man spoil you, that means steal from you, take from you, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. These are ideas men have come up with, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, people talking without proof. And oppositions of science falsely so-called. I find that funny because that word is in the Bible from 2,000 years ago. And Paul is warning Timothy, people are going to put up so-called science and they're going to fool you. Now, the religion of man is humanism, all right? Its theology is atheism. Its doctrine is evolution. Why teach this, preacher? Because you're not going to hear this anywhere else. Have you? Have you? Did you take a class in college on creation? Did you actually sit and learn anything? I want to change your worldview. A worldview is your paradigm. It's the framework where all of your basic assumptions on life and living and all that stuff is based on. And it's very important. And our worldview determines the context in which we interpret the world around us. It really does. Here, I want to illustrate it for you. How many of you have ever seen one of these? It's called a calf puller. One day, a businessman was taking a shortcut through the country. He's driving along, and he sees this scene. This farmer's got this cow on its side. He's got this big thing strapped on the back of this cow, and he is cranking on that thing. And the businessman gets out of his car and goes, hey, can I help you? I've never seen anything like this. He said, well, sure, I could use the help. And they labor and they pull and they crank on that thing, and out pops a baby cow, called a calf, for those of you city folks who don't know what a baby cow is. It's calf. Now, he and the businessman and farmer are cleaning up, and the businessman goes, I just got to ask you. I can't wait anymore. I got to ask you, how fast was that calf going when it hit the back end of that cow? Is it possible for two different people to look at the same scenario and draw two separate conclusions? Yes. Based on their worldview, it is possible. The humanist worldview is, wow, look at all these stars. Look at this universe we live in. A big bang made all of this from nothing. That's the humanist worldview, where they deify God. You get to be God. The evolutionary model is 18 billion years ago, there was a big bang. Don't know where it all came from, but 18 billion years ago, there was a big bang. 4.6 billion years ago, the earth evolved. It rained for a million years. And 3.5 billion years ago, life evolved on the planet out of that primordial soup. And 3 million years ago, humans evolved from ape-like creatures. Time, chance, and natural selection. The creationist worldview looks at the same universe in its order and its beauty and intricacy and goes, wow, there must be a designer there somewhere. Now, some people call it the creationist. I call it the literal biblicist. I believe the Bible's literal when it talks literally, and it figuratively when it talks figuratively, but I believe the Bible's true. 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. Sin brought death into the world. Now, the evolution teaches that death brought humans into the world, because through birth and death and birth and death, we evolved. That's what they teach. But the Bible says that sin brought death into the world. About 4,400 years ago, there was a worldwide flood that killed everybody but 8 people. Man was created in the image of God. That's the creationist worldview. Now, there are 4 great questions in life. And depending upon your worldview, this is how you answer them. Who am I? And thus, what am I worth? Well, if you're looking at it from the evolutionist worldview, you're not worth anything. You're just an animal. You're just some protoplasm that jumped up on the land, found somebody to marry and have birth, and birthed out, you know, through centuries and millions of years, something else. You're nothing but an animal. If you're a creationist, well, then you understand I came from God. I was created in His image. Number 2, where did I come from? I came from God. He created me specifically, just like all humans. The Bible says we're all one blood. We make a big deal out of race. God doesn't. We're all one. The evolution is, say, where'd we come from? We came from a big squish and a spin and a burst and a big bang, we call it. Number 3, why am I here? Well, in the evolutionist view, there's no purpose to life. Get all you can all you get, sit on the lid. If it feels good, do it. Creationists, we're created by God to glorify God, to fellowship with God, to be in communion with God. You have a purpose. Whether you can physically move about on your own or not, you have a purpose. Whether you have deficiencies or you're perfectly fine, you still have a purpose. Every life has a purpose. Where am I going when I die? Well, if you're an evolutionist, you become dirt. You're going to be recycled into a plant somewhere. But if you're of the creation worldview, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Smoking or non-smoking, you'll choose. So isn't it possible, though, come on, preacher, isn't it possible that evolution is how God did it? No. Both sides say no. Now, there's some well-meaning Christians out there who disagree with me, and that's okay. That's all right. But an evolutionist said the law of Christ is incompatible with the law of evolution. Nay, the two laws are at war with each other. That is Sir Arthur Keith. He wrote the book Evolution and Ethics. Atheism is so senseless. When I look at the solar system, I see Earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amounts of heat and light. This did not happen by chance, Sir Isaac Newton. I had to learn about him when I took calculus. I want you to understand, the Bible will prove itself to you. I don't have to. And that it's not only true for spiritual matters and historical accuracy for biblical stories, it's also true when it speaks of science and history. Wherever the Bible speaks of people living, archaeologists have found it. We're going to look at some of that. Where the Bible says there's mountains and rivers and we have found it. And wherever the people lived, the archaeologists found it. We think we found the Noah's Ark. We think we have found the base of the Tower of Babel. We have found the five cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, and those destroyed by brimstone and fire. We found them right where the Bible said they were. And where it talks about science, it talks accuracy. Now, the creation's worldview is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, for evolution and thus humanism, where you deify God, if it's going to go unchallenged, you have to cast doubt on the Word of God. You have to cast doubt on the Word of God. Listen, there is a reason why people go and scoff at this. We're going to look at this next week, where the Bible actually said 2,000 years ago, listen, they're going to scoff at this and call it false. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If somebody is scoffing at the Bible, it's because they have a fleshly benefit for doing so. I used to question the Bible and its truthfulness so that I didn't have to listen to it. That I could justify my actions and not obey it. And if you've got a spouse or you are that spouse who goes, I don't know about that Bible. It's because you don't want to obey it. You don't want it to be right. I know, because I was that spouse. For evolution to go unchallenged and humanism to thrive, God's word has to be have cast out on him. This did not start with Charles Darwin. It started with Satan in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? See, all apostasy, all people leaving truth from the Bible is when they first went, I don't know if I believe that Bible's true. And you cast out on the word of God. Every apostasy conceived started this way. That's why we make a big deal about the versions of the Bible. And I know a lot of people aren't going to find this comfortable, but I don't care. The new Bibles don't say the same things. They don't mean the same things. Now you tell me, is God not God anymore? Is he not able to make sure it gets done right? Or did somebody change it on purpose? The new versions take out many verses. If you want information on this, that's a sermon for another time. I'll give it to you. Here's the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was an evening, and there was was morning, one day. Okay, that's not the same thing. All right? That is a false representation of the scripture to allow for theistic evolution. It denies the literal creation. Why would anybody deny the literal creation? Because if I can deny the literal creation, then I don't have to. I can deny anything else I want out of the scripture. But Paul told Timothy, all of it is inspired, and it's good for you. It's profitable for what's right, so you'll know what right is. Like I said, it's not a convenient truth. It's just truth. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now he's calling God a liar. He's denying God's word. For God doth know. Now he's imputing God's character. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. That's humanism. That's making man God, knowing good and evil. It's the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. Humanism did not start with Karl Marx or Charles Darwin or Carl Sagan. It started with Satan in the garden. Now, Jesus said, ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is how apostasy starts. They cast doubt on the word of God. See, humanism wants to deify man. You become your own God. When you ask an evolutionist, well, how do you know right from wrong? Well, I determine that. Listen, the job of God is already taken. It's not available, not that you could do it anyway. But that's what humanism does. It elevates man to become God. I mean, we all want to travel through the universe, right? And seek new life and new civilizations. Preacher, do you believe in life and other planet or intelligent life? I always say, well, I have a hard time because I can't find much of it here. I would love to live in a Star Trek time where we travel the world. One day I will during the millennial reign. But Satan has always wanted to be worshipped, to be God. Isaiah 14, if you're taking notes, for thou, Lucifer, hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. And you realize that one third of all the angels went with Satan into his rebellion, and they all wanted to be worshipped just like he did. That's why 6 times in the Bible, when it says they're worshiping an idol or a false god, they're actually worshiping a devil. Huh. Never thought of it that way, did you? Angels are beings that never sleep, never eat, never take a vacation, can speak all languages and travel with the speed of thought, never get tired. Much smarter than we are. Great memories, great ability to mimic and fool. People say, well, there's power in talking to angels. Yeah, you idiot. Stay away from it. You're talking to a devil. But, you know, it's not just Satan. It's the religions that deny the word of God as truth. Exaltation is eternal life, the kind of life that God lives. He is a creator. We can become gods like our Heavenly Father. This is exaltation. This is straight out of the official Mormon doctrine called Gospels and Principles, printed in 1988 by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Did you know that? Garden variety Mormons don't know that they're going to become gods one day. Well, the guys are. We get to be gods. That's what it says. All the women get to go to heaven and are eternally pregnant, give birth to spirit babies. That's what they teach. Mrs. Mix doesn't call that heaven. Right? That's what they teach. But you know, they're not the only one. I've got some good books on how to talk to a Mormon friend about what the truth is. But they're not the only one. The Word of Faith movement that has ran rampant through the charismatic and Pentecostal faiths, teaching non-truth. It's part of the prosperity gospel. God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. I mean reproduction of himself in the Garden of Eden. He did just that. Adam was not just like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God. Even Adam was as much like God as you can get, just the same as Jesus. Adam in the garden was God manifested in the flesh. You don't have a God in you. You are one. That's Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Hagin, the believer is as much an incarnation of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The believer is called Christ. That's who we are. We are Christ. Is that really what you think? Do you think you're going to become God someday? No. But that's what humanism teaches, that man is his own God. He picks his own right from wrong. But the Bible's very different. In creation, in the Bible, because that's where it's based in. There is no other truth about creation outside the Bible. For by him, that's Jesus, were all things created. All of it. There's nothing out there that didn't get created that was created, but it was created by Jesus. That's what it says in Colossians 1:16. Look it up in your Bible. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Things you can see and things you ain't never seen. They're all created by Jesus. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. You know there's not anything outside of all. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. All things were created by him and for him. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Did you know that God created gender? Whoop now. Come on now. Stay with me. I love you. God defined gender as male and female. God defined gender by biology, not sociology. God defined it by biology, not psychology or social popularity. We are what God says we are. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, we are not pantheists. We don't believe in three gods. There's one God, but he has three persons in one. It's a compound singularity. Echad, like a bunch of grapes or a bunch of bananas, is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, equal in essence, equal in eternality, equal in power. That's the Trinity, one God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now we know Adam was created in the afternoon because it was just a little before Eve. And God had Adam do all the naming of animals because he knew Adam didn't need any help or didn't want any help doing it. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning? This is the voice of Jesus Christ. He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Now, was Jesus lying? Or was Jesus crazy? Or was he right? See, it's a credibility issue. Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe in heaven, and I believe in angels, and I believe in all the sparkly things we're going to get when we get there. but I'm not real sure about Genesis. If you can't believe one, you can't believe the other. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning? Here's another verse Jesus said. For had ye believed Moses, who wrote Genesis? Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? You understand? Salvation, atonement, eternal security of the believer, all of it falls apart if Genesis is garbage. It all falls apart. It's not real. Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you have heavenly things? See, it's not me telling you this. It's Jesus saying, if you can't believe Genesis, then you can't believe John 3:16. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. The question is not, what does the Bible say? The question is, do you believe it? Is it your final authority? Either God is or God isn't. And either God did or he didn't. And either God can save you or he can't. And either God is going to come back or he isn't going to come back. Because Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. I admit it. I've drank the Kool-Aid. I have now an Apple phone, an Apple computer, and an Apple tablet, and an Apple watch, and an Apple set. I know, it's like I drank the Kool-Aid. But do you understand that Steve Jobs is not inside my iPhone changing ones to zeros? Steve Jobs thought this up. He had it created, had it made, but he's bigger. He's outside of his creation. He's more complex than his creation. Of course, he's dead now, but when he was alive, do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I don't understand creation. I don't understand. Look, God is bigger outside of and more complex than the creation he designed. Now, the Bible says, well, what about the age of the earth, preacher? Well, to make evolution believable, you got to cast doubt on the Bible. So the credibility of Genesis is at stake. And can an average person read it and understand it? Of course you can. And then it says that, then we've got the credibility of Jesus is at stake. You know the one that said, if you believe in him, you'll live forever? The one who said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. That's who's talking right now. The credibility of Genesis, the credibility of Jesus. Nearly every other book of the Bible refers to Jesus. Over 200 specific references out of the book of Genesis in the New Testament alone. And the evolutionists care, because unless you hide evolution in billions and billions of years, it looks silly. To make evolution believable, you got to cast doubt on the Bible. Now, Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, people are going to believe it. And if you'll tell a bigger lie, they'll believe it more so than a smaller lie. My friend Kent used to live in East Peoria, Illinois. He was raised there. He had two older brothers. And you know how it is. Sometimes the older brothers are always the one getting things over on you if you're the younger brother. Well, that day, Kent got into the kitchen and got the last banana. He's going to put it on his Cheerios. And you know that feeling when you get one over on your older siblings? If you're the firstborn, you don't know what I'm talking about. But the rest of us who are the baby of the family know what it's like to get one over on our brothers. But you know, older brothers don't ask for things, nor do they. Do they beg? They either beat you for it or they'll trick you out of it. So Kent's older brother said, Kent, do you know where bananas come from? He goes, no. He said, down in South America, there is these spiders that live in the trees. And when they die, their legs fold up and become moldy. And that's how bananas are created. Bananas are moldy spider legs. Kent told me, he said, listen, I didn't eat bananas for 3 years. But here's what you do. To make a lie believable, you have to mix the lie in with truth. He said, your guys are lying to me. So they took a knife and they cut the banana open and they showed him these black spots. And they go, nope, see, there's the legs of the spider. You think, oh, that's just crazy. No, we do it all the time. We don't feed mice and rats a bowl of poison. We feed them a bowl of good food with a teeny tiny bit of poison. 0.005% is poison. The rest of that box is good food. Now, this isn't new. We do it with that. Marlboro's been doing it for years. What does smoking and cowboys have to do with each other? You become a cowboy if you light up a Marlboro? Have you come a long way, baby, if you smoke a Virginia Slim? Really? Let me ask you about, the truth is, in laboratory tests, what we've proven is it's not the person who smokes, it's the cigarette that smokes. You're just the sucker. How about beer and sports? Does the minute you open up a Bud, did you become a football player? Do all football players? I mean, is it? I'm sorry, it's Budweiser. I'm sorry. You don't get any wiser. What's the two got to do with each other? I used to go to public schools and teach on character, and I'd say, when you pop a Bud Long Neck, do the girls in bikinis and beach balls come out of the closet? I mean, is that really what it looks like when you drink? What do the two have to do with each other? Nothing. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth the color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. That's talking about when it's fermented. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Oh, don't get so pious thinking about other people who drink. You Christians have got your own brand of alcohol with 10%. All right? Don't think you're so pious. Look, I'm not against science, all right? I'm against the poison that gets mixed in with it. You understand? Hitler said, you let me control the textbooks and I will control the state. So what's being taught? Did you take creation when you went to public school? I didn't. I didn't get that class offered to me. Did you know, I read the preface to my calculus book, and it started the same way as this first grade science book. Millions and millions or billions of years ago. What's that got to do with calculus? If you tell a first grader that the world is billions of years old, they're going to believe it. Just like they'll believe bananas are moldy spider legs. Is this education or indoctrination? Ow, I know. I'm the crazy one. Second grade textbook. There's that word evolved at the bottom. Scientific studies have proven that children's brains don't actually develop until they're 23. Does anybody else have a home laboratory where that came true? Well, Pastor, don't you believe in evolution? Well, which one are you talking about? There's six different brands. Cosmic evolution, the origin of time, space, and matter. They say everything came from nothing at no time and expanded and developed until now. No, I don't believe that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, that's us, we understand it, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Stephen Hawking said, because there's a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Let me explain to you how life works. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The universe we live in displays his power and his Godhead. We live in a universe that's defined by a Trinity. Time, space, and matter. That's a Trinity. You can't have space, or you can't have matter without space, because where would you put it? You can't have matter without time, because when would you put it? And time is a Trinity, past, present, and future. Space is a Trinity, length, width, and height. Matter is a Trinity, gas, liquid, solid. We live in a Trinity of Trinities, and the Bible is foolish because it says so, right? No, the world around us proves it, displays it. Then there's chemical evolution, the origin of higher elements from hydrogen. Higher elements evolve from hydrogen due to stellar fusion. You know, you got a chicken or an egg problem here. Because you can't have fusion without the stars. Well, then you can't have the stars without the elements. And you can't really fuse past iron. And you're telling me that uranium fused through stars to make from hydrogen. And are these elements still evolving? How about stellar or planetary evolution? No one has ever seen a star form. Here is one. Martin Harwit in Science magazine wrote an article and said, "The silent embarrassment of modern astrophysics is that we," speaking of himself, "do not know how even a single one of these stars managed to form." Now, we see them blow up. Every 30 years or so, we see another one blow up called a nova or a supernova. You know, the Bible says there's an innumerable number of stars. There's so many you can't count them. In fact, when we got the Hubble telescope and the other telescopes in the sky, we figured out that every human being on the planet could own 11 trillion stars. And that's just the stars we know about. We don't know about the stars we don't know about. I'm just being honest with you. Okay? Now, then there's organic evolution. Where did life come from? After the big squish and the big spin and the big bang, where did it all come from? A single cell organism somehow in that primordial soup found somebody to marry and have babies with, and after multiple generations crawled out onto the sand. Now, look, we can reproduce the chemicals, they say, that's in the soup. But we can't reproduce life from lifelessness. Do you understand? That's why it says in John 1 that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Nobody give God life. God is the giver of life. Then you got macroevolution, the changing from one kind of an animal to another. You know what's crazy is there's 340 different breeds of dogs recognized by the World Canine Organization. And I'll bet you a dollar they all had a common ancestor. And it wasn't a rock. Because that's what evolution teaches, right? Some 18 billion years ago. And then the earth cooled and there was rain. And then out of primordial soup. No, I think it was a dog. Because it's still a dog, whether it's big or small. Whether it's got short legs or long legs. Whether it's got short hair or long hair. It's a dog. No one has ever seen a non-dog come from a dog. You know, I'll bet you a dollar the wolf, the dog, and the coyote all had the same common ancestor. You know, I bet you I can go downstairs and get any five-year-old out of junior church and ask them, "Hey, let's play which one's not like the other." I bet you a dollar any of them downstairs can pick the one that's not like the other. Some college professors don't even understand this. The Bible says the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, the living creature after his kind. What does that mean? That means Tysons cannot take a chicken and crossbreed it with a centipede to get a chicken with a million legs. That means Tysons can't take a turkey and cross it with an ostrich and get a turkey with really big legs to fight over it at Thanksgiving. They reproduce after their own kind. The thing is, Charles Darwin changed the labels from kind to species. Oh, that's just the first five brands of evolution. Now, number six is the only one that is observable, provable, measurable, repeatable, and that is microevolution, variations within kinds, survival of the fittest. That's true. But the problem is they want you to believe the other five are true because number six is true, and it's all called evolution. Now, we can prove one. I can't prove the others. Here's a teacher's edition, Holt, General Science. Stress that the Earth is thought to be at least 4.5 billion years. Is that education or indoctrination? The definition of science is the systematized knowledge derived from observation and study. I'm not against science. I think we ought to teach science in the classroom. Now, there's only two choices. Either somebody made this world or it made itself. Well, let's look at the universe and see which one of these two worldviews actually fit. You got the first law of thermodynamics, that matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. The Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." It's talking about the universe at large. It's finished. It's not being created anymore. It's done. And all the host of them. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, humanists regard the universe as self-existing. That's why in the Humanist Manifesto, the word universe is always capitalized. They deify it. Isn't that interesting, though, when you break down the word etymologically? The word uni means one or single, and the word verse is a spoken sentence. We all live in a single spoken sentence. I just relish the heartburn that gives anybody who reads that and doesn't believe it. I just think it's funny. They live in a universe. All matter in the universe, this is what they believe. All matter in the universe, don't know where it came from, got squished into a dot the size of a period on a page. Don't know where it came from. Then that dot in the universe got concentrated, got very dense, got very hot, and then boom, there's this big bang. Don't know where the energy came from to run this engine. Don't know where the stuff came that squished. Don't know how it got squished. Don't know how it got spinning. I would like you to go to work tomorrow and use that level of accuracy with your boss. Go on now. Go spend billions of American tax dollars on that. Oh, that's what we do. I'm sorry. I was just forgetting where I was. With that level of accuracy and accountability. Here's another one. After many billions of years, all the matter and energy once again will be packed into a small area. This area may be no larger than a period on the edge of the page. Do you like dealing in words like may, possibly, perhaps, might have? The Big Bang may occur every 80 to 100 billion years. Our tax dollars are funding this. Here's another textbook. It says, in the realm of the universe, nothing really means nothing. Wow. From a state of nothingness, that's a dot, exploded, creating everything. Look at the lower right-hand corner. It says, the Big Bang Theory does not explain how the universe began. The theory only explains how the existing universe could have developed. Do you understand creation and the Bible was the prevailing thought for 6,500 years of human existence until about 150 years ago? Discover Magazine. See, back here it says that the Big Bang was created, thought up by George Edward Latimer. This was his idea. And he thought that all the universe matter was squished down to about 2 light years. And then in 1965, reduced to 275,000 or 275 million miles. And then in 72, it got reduced again to 71 million miles. Then in 74, it was 54 million miles. In 83, it became a trillionth of a diameter of a proton. And now today, thanks to Bolton David Heiser's article, it came all the way from nothing at all. Discover Magazine said everything came from a dot that big. The universe burst into something from absolutely nothing, zero, nada. And as it got bigger, it became filled with even more stuff that came from absolutely nowhere. I'm quoting from the magazine cover. Okay? How is that possible? Ask Alan Guth. His theory of inflation helps explain everything. And Alan Guth said the observable universe could have evolved from an infinitesimal region. That means a dot. It's then tempting to go one step further and speculate that the entire universe evolved from literally nothing. That's from his article on creating something from nothing, New Science magazine. This is what they're teaching. Another textbook says the nebula begins to rotate. Don't know where it came from. Don't know who provided the gas to run that engine. And then as it spun, it exploded. So here are the two ideas. Number one, you have the creationist view. In the beginning, God. About 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood that killed everybody except 8 people. And then 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born. And now we're 2,000 years later, and Jesus is coming. The evolutionists believe that 20 billion years or so, there was this big squish and a spin and an explosion. And everything in the beginning was dirt. They want to make it a debate between religion and science. The thing is, guys, it's not a scientific debate. It's a religious debate. Because if you can't prove it, then you got to take it on faith. It's not about religion and science. Science is actually the systemized knowledge derived from observation. So I'm not against science. I'm against the poison mixed in. There are 3 questions evolution can't answer. Where did the matter and everything come from? Where's the big squish? Where'd the big spin? Where'd the big boom? They can't explain where all the laws came from. Gravity, centrifugal force, inertia, Boyle's law. You can eat Coles' law, but you can't eat Boyle's law. Where did it go? And are they still evolving? Number 3, where did the energy come to run this universe? Where'd that gas? Who provided the gas? And does the observable universe around you support this? Have you ever played on a merry-go-round? Last time we were up in Illinois, Levi was a little bitty guy. We spun him so fast he puked. You ever do that? You haven't really done a merry-go-round until you've puked. Anybody puke? Everybody, hey, you ought to puke. Anyway, so you get on there, and they're like, come on, go faster, go faster. And you get to running, and they stop screaming because now they're just concentrating on holding on, right? But then you get going really fast, and people start to fly off and scream again. The funny thing happens, though, if the merry-go-round is going clockwise, which is kind of scary to you millennials who don't know how to read a clock. It's going to righty-tighty. There he goes. Going into the right. That means everybody who flies off the merry-go-round spins to the right also. It's called the conservation of angular momentum, that the outside of a body is spinning faster than the inside of the body. And so when it breaks apart, the pieces will spin in the same direction. What's interesting is our sun spins very slowly while the planets move very rapidly around the sun. The sun has 99% of the mass of our solar system, but only 2% of the angular momentum in the observable solar system. This is an exact opposition to the conservational law of angular momentum. Did you know Venus, Uranus, and Pluto all rotate backwards on their axis from the other six planets? That's in direct violation of the conservation of angular momentum. Did you know that 8 of the 91 known moons in our solar system rotate backwards? That Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune have moons orbiting in both directions, which is also a contradiction to the law of conservation of angular momentum? Did you know there's entire... Uh-oh, Pastor messed up. Let's do that again. I missed it. There we go. Okay, there we go. Did you know that there's entire galaxies that spin backwards? They spin backwards. CNN did a news article, the goofy galaxies that spin backwards. So no, evolution is not supported by the observable universe, at least not with the law of conservation of angular momentum. Did you know the other part of that law is the universe should have all of its matter evenly distributed? When you go to a crime scene where somebody has exploded something, if nothing is there to impair the objects from flying, that means from the very center where the explosion happened, all the pieces fly in equal distance, in equal concentration. Well, why is our universe so lumpy with large voids in between? See, the Bible answers these questions. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's our big bang. It just hadn't happened yet. But the day of the Lord, that's what he says. That's it. What about the second law of thermodynamics that says everything is tensed from order to disorder? The Bible agrees with it and says, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old at the garment. Well, I don't believe that. Have you looked at your wife when she gets up in the morning? Things went from order to disorder while you slept. Here's Sue at 90, or 20, excuse me. Here's Sue at 90. Here's Sue at 3,000. Total disorder. See, but the evolutionist and humanist view is that we went from simple to complex. That's in direct contradiction to the second law of thermodynamics, which is measurable, observable science today. But they say, well, Pastor, come on. If you add energy to an open system, you can actually overcome the second law of thermodynamics. But yes, the earth is an open system, but the universe is not. And adding energy is destructive without a complex mechanism to harness that energy. Now, you can assume the sun is our only, it is our only energy source in this solar system, by the way. But if you don't have a complex mechanism to harness the energy, it's destructive. Remember, Japan added a lot of energy to Pearl Harbor, and they didn't organize anything. A few years later, we returned the favor and added energy to a couple of their cities, and we didn't organize anything anyway. You know, without a complex mechanism to harness it, the sun will destroy the roof of your house. It'll destroy your entire house. It'll destroy the roof of your car and your upholstery. It'll destroy your paint shop. The only thing that doesn't get destroyed and can use it and harness it is chlorophyll. Isn't that interesting? The only complex mechanism that we know of that can harness the energy and not make it destructive is chlorophyll. But the Bible said to him that by wisdom made the heavens. I think God knew what he was doing. So evolution teaches that all life evolved from simpler life into more complex. This textbook says that we all came 3.4 billion years ago from a starfish. The remains of early ancestors of modern human beings. Did you evolve? Did you evolve from a starfish? This one says that about 30 million years ago, large primates such as monkeys and apes evolved. There's that word again. Evolved, both humans and modern apes. You know, my family did hang from trees, but by their necks, not by their tails, right? It's a contrary to the second law of thermodynamics. So whenever somebody says millions and millions, children, if they go billions of years, what you need to translate that into is a long time ago and far, far away. It's a fairy tale. Is this who you evolve from? Is it? Is this education or indoctrination? Ask yourself. All flesh is not the same flesh. One kind of flesh, one kind of beast, another fish bird. It teaches we're still evolving into more complex creatures. Stephen Hawking said, we're just an advanced breed of monkeys on a minor planet and a very average star, but we can understand the universe that makes us something special. Barbara Reynolds explains why your kids go crazy at school. In her article, she said it's because they're taught evolution, that they're just animals. You're an animal who share a common heritage with earthworms. You're just an animal. What does it matter? But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. They're taught there are no absolutes. The Bible says 413 times, thus saith the Lord. You know, there's no law against teaching creation in the public schools. It's just that the state can't mandate it, can't require it to be taught. Stephen Jay Gould said, no statute exists in any state to bar instruction of creation science. It could be taught before and it can be taught now. It's just not what the ACLU wants. The founder of the ACLU says, I'm for socialism and disarmament and ultimately the abolishing of the state itself. I seek the social ownership of property and abolition of property class, the sole control of those who produce wealth, and communism is the goal. Let me tell you something. This destroys your child's faith in God. And God says, woe unto those. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So how did we get to this place? I know we're running out of time. How did we get to this place? Well, in 1957, the Russians beat us in the space race. And the whole world, all of us, freaked out. America freaked out. Before 1957, only 2,000 to 3,000 words of evolution were in the textbooks. But we all freaked out because they taught evolution. And on the 100th year anniversary of Darwin's book in 1959, Life magazine came out and said, you can survive fallout. Here's how you build a bomb shelter. They're beating us in the space race because they teach evolution. 1959, President Eisenhower asked Congress for $1 billion for the Department of Health and Education and Welfare for a new American education fund for the promotion and publication of a new science of evolution. That book is still available. You can get it today. It's called The Cold War Reconstruction of American Science Education. This is not when America started to erode, by the way. This is when the dam broke. Because in 1963, they pulled prayer from public schools. And look what evolution has done to our society. Premarital sex is up for all age groups. Sexually transmitted disease is up 385. Remember, we're supposed to be evolving. Birth rates among unwed girls. I checked on the CDC website that 39.8% of all births today in 2017 were to an unwed lady. And if that's you, listen, I love you. God's going to use you. If you'll let him, God will use you. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Birth rates up 100%. Pregnancies are up 553%. The rest is just being aborted. Percentage of births out of wedlock. 725% increase of couples living together. The Bible says this, and we're not to do that. We're not to commit adultery. Whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after hath committed adultery already in his heart. Divorce rates, though, has dropped off because people are shacking up. They're not getting married. Child abuse is up 2,300%. Are we evolving? Illegal drug use is up 6,000% from 1963. Are we evolving? Violent crime is up 995%. Are we still evolving? Are we devolving, deviling? This was a tragedy. But both Eric and Dylan were followers of the Nazi teachings on evolution. They shot Elijah Scholes because he was black. They walked up to Cassie Bernal, put a gun to her head, said, "You believe in God?" And she goes, "Yes." And they go, "Why?" Pulled the trigger and killed her. Everybody came out against gun control. And I'm not here to talk about that. But they violated 18 different laws on that day. So you tell me, are we evolving as a society? You know, it's just crazy when you think about, oh, I didn't mean for that slide to come up. Average SAT scores have dropped off. Here's an article from the Chicago Tribune, how they dumbed down the SATs so the scores would look higher. I didn't make this up. Teen suicide rate is off the chart. Are we evolving? Are we getting better? The Bible teaches we are going to change. But that's when Jesus comes back. So let's recap. If you kiss a frog, does he turn into a prince? Wait a minute. Is that how you found your husband? Huh? Does that work? But if he evolves over millions of years into a prince, that's science. Right? What? Come on now. You kiss a frog and he goes quickly. That's a fairy tale. But if it's billions of years, it's like me telling Michelangelo, you didn't create that statue. It created itself. Isn't that what they're saying? Look, science is the systemized knowledge derived from observation and study. I'm not against science. A certain phenomenon is observed. A scientist formulates a hypothesis. And based on that hypothesis, a scientist tries to predict results of an episode of that phenomenon. That's how the scientific method works. Fourth, independent, repeatable tests verify the success of the hypothesis. If the tests support the hypothesis, it's then advanced to a theory. But pastors, they're so much smarter than you are. Yeah, but science has had a long history of being wrong. Remember, there was a time when we all thought the world was the center of the universe and everything went around it? Remember that? And scientists, that's wrong. Do you remember when Isaac Newton said, gravity may put the planets into motion, but without divine power, it could have never put them into such circulation motion as they have about the sun. And therefore, this as well as other reasons, I'm compelled to ascribe the frame of this system to an intelligent agent. That's Sir Isaac Newton. You smarter than he is. Scientists used to believe the earth was flat. 2,000 years before Columbus got into three leaky boats, the Bible said the earth was round. Wow, how'd they know that? Galileo had to prove, because for 2,000 years we thought bigger objects, heavier objects, fell faster than smaller objects. No, not in a vacuum. Galileo proved that. In 1799, George Washington had twice had blood let out of him because they followed the doctrine of humors, which means you have bad blood. And they would let blood out of you thinking that would heal you. And you could go to places where there was a red and white striped pole and the barber would let the blood out of you. But next to George Washington on his bedside table was a King James Bible. And that Bible said 1,600 years before the birth of Christ that the life of your flesh is in the blood. Took Louis Pasteur to figure that out in the 1800s. So let me ask you, when you hear the words billions of years ago, do you understand why I tell you it's a fairy tale? It's a long, long time ago. Millions of years ago, dinosaurs and fossils. Where are the repeatable tests? Where is the proof? Where are the results? I agree, over 55% of the scientists believe it, but that'll make it true. Next week, we're going to talk more on this. But for when you leave today, I want you to imagine, if you were out scuba diving and you found a sunken ship, and out of that you pulled a chest of coins. And in that chest of coins were coins with dates on it. When did the ship sink? Do you find the oldest coin in the box and decide that's when the ship sank? Or do you go with the most recent? See, it's called the limiting factors. Next week, we're going to look at limiting factors on the age of the earth. What about dinosaur bones? Is there a date stamp on them? Made in Taiwan 70 million years ago. You know, the only thing a bone can tell you is that that animal died. That's the only thing I can prove. it died. I can't tell you necessarily what it ate. I can't tell you necessarily what it drank. I can't necessarily tell you what it was like. I can tell you it died. But if you want to ask somebody who was there, ask the manufacturer, the OEM, the original equipment manufacturer. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and was not any without Him was not anything made was made. For by Him, that's Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and in earth. And He answered and said, have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Wherefore, by as one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. See, evolution puts death before man. The Bible says, no, no, no. Sin brought death. And so it was written, the first man was made a living soul. The last Adam made a quickening spirit. Now, I admit, we can't get that detail from the Bible. I get that, all right? The Scofield Reference Bible says that God spoke the world into existence on October 23, 2 p.m. at 404 B.C. I don't think you can actually get that detailed. Mr. Scofield's a little wrong. But have you noticed how they're taking BCE or BC out of the timing, and it's BECE now, before the Common Era, because they don't want Christ in the dating system. Textbooks say the earth is billions of years old. You're an animal. Don't believe it. Look, God made everything. He makes the rules. We have broken the rules. Sin has a punishment unless you find a substitute. So the question I have for you, where are you going when you die? Smoking or non-smoking? Is Jesus your Savior? If you believe John 3:16, you can believe Genesis 1. See, the thing is, you need to get this right because you're going to be dead a while. And if you're saved, all you have is the dash between two dates. That's all you got. What are you doing for heaven's sake? Are you any good to heaven? Because this is what you've got to affect eternity. Because life's too short to wait, and eternity's too long to be wrong. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, I admit, I've just whipped through a bunch of data. I have 17 hours of data that you are welcome to have. Hundreds of examples. I've just picked a few. I have cherry-picked a few because it makes it obvious. But I've got hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of this that you can go through on your own, and I'm willing to give it to you for free. You can just have it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. But the question is, it's not what God said, it's do you believe? Is Jesus credible? You want to believe Him for heaven and salvation and love and eternity and everlasting love and love that's unconditional, but you're not going to believe He's right when He talked about creation? And when He talked about what's going to happen 1 second after you die, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you called upon Him and admitted you're a sinner and asked Him to save you? You can do that right now. Because your faith and trust is in what Jesus did on the cross, not your church or your pastor. Christians, if we don't tell people the truth, they're not going to hear it anywhere else. Our Father and our God, in the next few moments, I ask you to speak to every heart and every soul. Help us, oh God, help us. That we may tell the truth to others. Father, increase our faith. Strengthen our faith. Help us to see. Prove it to us, God, through your word. Deepen and strengthen us, O God, that we may be usable for thee. And Father, whatever struggles people are dealing with today, give them the courage, the comfort, the grace that they need today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the invitation time of the service. As Ms. Mix begins to sing and play, the altar is open. Won't you come talk to the Lord? Look, either He is or He isn't. And if He is, that means He can talk to you. So why don't you come down here and talk to Him? And tell Him and ask Him to talk to you. Either He did or He didn't. But He said He did.
Speak what is true.
he said he did and he didn't do it, then he's a liar and he's not a God that needs to be worshipped. It's true. There are hundreds of well-meaning Christians out there who would disagree with me. But they're cherry-picking what they wish to believe about the Bible, and thus elevating themselves above the authority of Scripture and saying they are the authority. Because they get to pick and choose what's believable. They get to pick and choose what they will obey and what they won't. I can't think of a better way to define God than to put yourself in a position where nobody has to obey anything unless you choose it.
Speak what is true, 'cause you are more than enough. You are here, you are love, you are hope, you are grace, you're all I have, you're everything.
I admit, I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on my secular education. I've spent thousands of dollars on my degrees that taught me evolution. I understand it. It's put me in a classification in my secular work. It gave me honor and rank in the eyes of my peers. And I wasn't very ready to let go of it because my pride was what was standing in the way. Either the Bible's true or it's all bunk. Which is it? Our Father and our God, thank you for the opportunity to read your word aloud, to display it, to proclaim it, to read it for ourselves. We ask as we go from this place, God, that we would tell others of what we know, what we've experienced. And Father, may you be glorified. And Father, we ask that you would continue to prove it to us. You would continue to make it understandable, that you would continue to deepen our walk with you and our faith in you. And Father, make us usable. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Johnny comes.